Well, they're getting prepped here, and just let you know how much I appreciate being here. And again, I come to you on a full belly. I just came, oh, the hardness of being a preacher, I'll tell you. But I'll tell you, it was outstanding. I got to go over to Tommy's and Patricia's beautiful home, and that I just did to hang out with everybody, and it was just, how wonderful. Just thank you so much. I mean, I appreciate you all opening up your homes, taking me out to nice restaurants. Just Jordan, I tell you what, he loves it, all right? I mean, everywhere I fly, he flies with me. I know my daughters, that's the way they used to do. They would just fly with me, you know. That's just the way it is. But it's like, that's something that I will have. I'll take that with me to my casket. And that's something that, you know, I can die with, knowing that my children, if it's here or over in Europe or wherever I go on my little mission tours. But it's just it's marvelous. And I tell you what, grandparents and parents, if you have this opportunity to where you can let your children know you love them, you do just that, okay? Because I tell you, it goes by so fast. We understand that, don't we? I mean, when you get to be my age, you say, "Yeah, I understand that." We do. So we take that, and we're very, very thankful. I can't tell you how much it means to me to have my son to be with me, and I know that it's just a blessing. Brian, I'm just learning more things from him. I mean, oh boy, I wish I could tell the story, okay? it's a nice young man, and his lovely wife and whatnot, Peggy, and I knew them a long while back, you know, and just nice people. So you're fortunate to have them, and I hope that good success will come to the Rivermont congregation and whatnot, and that many souls will be saved in the efforts of preaching this right here, the gospel. And that's all we're going to try to do, and even tonight, that's all we're going to look at. But we want to let you know, I would be remiss, enough people, they come up, and they preach, and they go, and they leave, and you know, hey, I'm thankful. I'm just very thankful that you decided to come out on this nice, beautiful, sunny night here in Virginia, okay? And just be able to tell God, hey, we're thankful. But, you know, hey, being from Ohio and whatnot, I'm used to it. I'm acclimated. And I love the weather and wherever I'm at. Whenever you can open up this book, study from this book, what else is there? And that's what we're trying to show people out there. Really, what else is there? This is the paramount. All right, this is what it's all about. We got to get in tune with this because we just don't know, folks. We just don't know. So tonight, we're going to be doing a little sermon, and hopefully the slides are going to just go just like they're just smoothly. You know, Brian and I, we came up this afternoon, and we looked at it, and we revamped it a little bit, both of us, we tweeted it. So if it works okay, it works. If not, we'll digress. I have the book in front of me. We'll be okay. Believe me, we'll be okay. I don't care if we have to change it 180 degrees. We'll make it fit in. But I would like to really tell you this. And let's see, how can I say it? I don't want to be flippant as I'm looking at this topic. I want you to really, I don't want you to think that I'm trying to be, not dogmatic, but like I'm really trying to like shove it down your throats or whatnot, because I'm not doing that. But I want you to understand, we either take it or we don't take it, all right? You see, I lived a Christian life many years, and I had partial obedience. You know, I was good at being halfway there, even sometimes 75% there, ladies and gentlemen, but that's, don't get it. That's not the way it should be. You see, when you become a child of God, you give it all to Jesus Christ. But I played with it. I toyed with it. I mean, I toyed because there was a young girl that I was interested in. And I didn't want nobody else to take that little girl. I wanted her all for myself. So, yeah, I'd come to your gospel meeting. I didn't even know what a gospel meeting was. I'll come and listen to these preachers or whatnot. And I'm thinking, boy, and here I am now standing up in front. Who would have thought that? I mean, I tell some of these people that Connie Adams, you probably don't know who Connie Adams are. So let me see. No, I know you do, okay? And it's like, you're a preacher? What happened? You just don't know, do you? But the gospel, my oh my, you talk about how it can change you, it really can change you. It can change anyone. So when we look at this, I just want you to really think tonight, on this Tuesday night, am I giving it all to Him? Everything. We know Matthew 22:37. We know Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. We know these verses. I mean, you could look back to the Pentateuch, you could look back and to the law, and you can hear Moses say, yes, you've got to love the Lord your God with everything. We could hear Jesus say, you've got to give everything to me. But in my life, I'm going to tell you, the school of hard knocks, I'm going to tell you, I didn't give God everything. George, sometimes I just, you know, I was there, I came to services, my body was there, my spirit wasn't. And you can't do that. When you come to church, as it was prayed about tonight, and thank you so much for that beautiful prayer, the singing that Matt led us in. You know, we're here. Are we onward Christian soldiers? Are we really be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? You put on the whole armor of God that you'd be able to stand against the wiles of the devil? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13. Am I really on that? And he will go down in verse 17. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Do I have that helmet of salvation? Do I have that sword of the Spirit? Do I have the Word of God? Because without it, I'm not going to make it. If I don't have this etched in my body, in my soul, in my mind, I'm not going to make it. He said, well, I can't get up in front of people and quote scriptures. I'm not asking you to do that. I asked you, do you have it? That's what I pose to you. And this is what we need. Because we understand it's in the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen. Our mind, we got to give it to God. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Because there was a man. I mean, he was a great, he could slay me. I was talking about Tommy, and Tommy killed a bear up in Canada. This man could slay me if he could have cut me in two in his day. Because he was a big man. He was buffed. I mean, he was on it. But I tell you what, he took matters into his own hands. And who gives you the authority? Who gives people, because they're maybe they hold that Bible, the authority that they play God? You see, we can't play God. We bow before God. We don't play God. We tell God, God, we need you. God don't need us. We need Him, ladies and gentlemen. Because it's as we alluded to yesterday, we were the sinners. He died for us, Romans 5, verse 8. So I would like to give it and break it down to you the only way I know how. And when I preach, I try to make it simplistic. I really try to just put it, you know, right low key. All right? So just follow along with me. Look in the Bible with me. And I would really appreciate that. And I am. I'm so thankful that you are here tonight. I mean that. I think about long ago, and I think about the scriptures, and I look at this, and I meditate. You see, when you're a child of God, you got to meditate. It's more than just praying. You got to pray. It's a must. You got to meditate. You got to think about it. This has to be in your mind. You got to ponder it. And I can't help but to think of verses that ramble in my body, in my soul, in my flesh. You know, I think of verses where the Bible say, blessed is the man that walketh, not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like a chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. It's not going to happen. But I'll tell you what will happen. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, I'll tell you what, they're going to perish. And you think of passages that goes back, you think back in the day, and in Psalms 1, verse 1 through 6. And you think about those passages, and you think, wow, I have a way. I can go like verses 1 through 3, or I can go like verses 4 through 6. And I've been there. I've been both ways. And I think about this. I have the little thing like saying, you know what? I'm saying this in trope, T-R-O-P-E, language, figurative language. I'm saying this like, don't, you don't need to do that. And then on my other shoulder, yes, you need to do that.
I'm not saying that I have incantation that these magical voices is, you know, speaking to me, but I'm telling you, sometimes I don't need those voices. I have my own friends. They tell me. And the people I hang around with, you know, what they show me. Because I've been telling the congregation here, more is caught than taught. All right? And somebody would say, wow, where's this guy from? All right? But that's the school of hard knocks. And when you learn this and you understand that, I don't have to be loquacious. I don't have to be wordy with my speech. I can just tell you candidly, this is the way that the scriptures speak to us, Hebrew or Greek. So I want to talk to you in my language tonight. Double-minded. Now, if I would say, okay, how many know James chapter 1, verse 8? You would all probably say, yeah, I know that. And that's good, because you're good Bible students. And we understand that James, he cut right to the chase. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we can get that, okay? I knew this verse a long, long time ago. I know the verse. But I'll tell you what, I wasn't living the verse. Anybody else in here that you know what the Bible tells you to do, but you don't follow what the Bible tells you to do, okay? That was me. And I'm still working on this, ladies and gentlemen. If I don't give it all to God, I haven't gave nothing to God. Did you hear what I just said? That's kind of profound, isn't it? Imagine me saying that. Kind of profound. You know, I mean, this is something I got to really take to heart. Danny, Jesus says, I want you all. If you don't give it to me all, I tell you what are you doing? He wants you all. 100%. And I don't think that we take it serious. But one day you're going to wish you did. You're going to wish you did. So I'm just asking you tonight, are you giving God your all in all? You think about that, okay, ladies and gentlemen? Let's see what we got here. Oh, yeah, Brian, you know what we forgot to do? Make it go big. Oh, yeah, I said I was going to read off here. Okay, so I'm going to read off here. Because on here, it's like this. Missy, if I would wear George's glasses, Carson's glasses, and keep on putting on glasses, I might be able to do this, all right? When God calls you to do something specific, my question is, how do we respond? How do we really respond when we look at this, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, let's talk about this. Preaching. We're all going to be preachers. I didn't think that it was going to be my cup of tea. Praying. Well, how much, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, how much do I, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, how much do I really think about praying? What about singing, Ephesians 5, 19? I mean, what about singing? Our singing tonight was beautiful. Matt did a great job. How about giving? I mean, we know what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, but how much when I give, do I really give with a loving heart? I mean, you can see the house I live in, you can see the car I drive or whatnot, but what about my giving? How much do I give? By the way, it don't matter how big your house or how small your house, how big your car or how small your car. But I tell you what, it does matter. What do you really think about God? That's what really matters. I don't care about the stuff. The stuff is okay. And if you got great stuff, here's what we need to do. Share it. Sure. Just like I did in Acts chapter 2. Let's share it. I'm happy that you are blessed. I'm very happy. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? When you share it, you'll even be more blessed. And those who do that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, what about the Lord's Supper? Yeah, we got to do the Lord's Supper, baptism, fellowship. We could go yawn, on, and on. In fact, Jesus would just say, if you love me, you're going to do what? You're going to keep my laws, my ordinances. You're going to keep my commandments. That's what you're going to learn to do, okay? I do understand that most of us don't raise a fist. We don't do that. At God and yell, I won't do that, God. I'm a Christian, but don't expect me to help him or help her. I have a problem with him or her. I mean, forget about this, what Mr. Allen's been preaching. Oh, the glory of God. By the way, that's the thing we're looking at, the glory of God. Matthew 5:44. I mean, come on. Humbug, all right? I mean, love, bless, do good, and pray. Where does he come off talking like that? Jesus. That's where I come off, okay? But instead, we usually struggle with it for a while. I'm telling you my paradigm here, okay? This is what I did. I'm telling you what Danny, William, Allen did, all right? And sometimes I argue, telling him all the reason why it won't work. Huh. My ways are better, God. And then we begin to doubt. We heard him, right? And then, the fact of the matter, we deny that he's even there. And I'll tell you what happens when you follow that pattern. You won't even be here. You'll go. You'll leave here. You'll look for another place. See, I can make all the excuses in the world why I don't need God. I want to name one excuse why God needs you. You see, God never gave an excuse. The Father looked down. He had to turn his head because his Son took on the sins of the world. And I'm going to tell you what, that's big. And in those sins, I'm there. I'm there. People ask me all the time, you're a Christian. Why? Because I love Jesus. That's why I'm a Christian, ladies and gentlemen. Would you turn? I know you know where I was going, so let's just turn there, will you please? 1 Samuel. And thank you again for being here, and I would really appreciate if you'll follow along with me. That would really, as we venerate God this night, really appreciate it so much. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Okay? Now, I was just thinking right about now, man, I gave up on a cup of coffee tonight. Had some water, you know. You probably can tell I need a cup of coffee right now, can't you? All right? Okay? So, anyway, it's organic coffee, folks. Come on now. It's the good stuff, okay? Okay, here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1 through 23. You know the story. Repetition, repetition, repetition. I walk around the block, you know, I was walking around the block, and all I'm doing is quoting scriptures to myself. People look, hey, how you doing? You talk to yourself, buddy? Yeah, I talk to myself quite a bit, all right? Yeah. But that's okay, you know? Now, if someone answers you back, you better watch out, okay? But anyway, you just, it's all right. But on that, do that, I keep on walking, and the same people, they walk around too, and it was a little, you know, windy this morning and whatnot. And I was hoping to see a couple ladies here, and that's why I'm looking out there. I don't see them, but I'm not going to give up. But I'm glad you're here. I am really glad you're here. I really am. Satan don't want you to be here, but you're here. And I know the congregation here at Rivermont, they are elated that you are here. Are you in 1 Samuel chapter 15? Here we go. Samuel also said unto Saul, now listen to this. Come, I mean, you talk about specific. No stuttering. It's okay even if you stuttered, but there was no stuttering. The Lord sent me to anoint you to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember, now watch this, that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite. Go and your rendition might say attack. Go and your version might say fight. Anyway, go to Amalek and utterly, you underscore this in your mind, and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them and tell them 200,000 footmen. I'll tell you, back in the day, that was a big army, wasn't it not? That's a pretty big battle right there. And 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, he was looking to mercy. And we know what the Bible says about mercy. If you don't show no mercy, you're not going to get no mercy. Isn't that the way it goes? These people showed some mercy. So Saul said, I want to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you some mercy. Ladies and gentlemen, the people that give you mercy, show you mercy, do me a favor. Give it back to them. I've been the guy that never gave back mercy. Had people give me mercy, I was the guy who said, no, thank you. I just want more. Boy, how God can humble a man. You're looking at one. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for you showed kindness. My daughter wrote when she was a little girl, it's nice to be nice. She coined that. I made thousands of dollars off of that, okay? No, not really. But anyway, I got it on my refrigerator. I wouldn't take the money for it, okay? But it's nice to be nice. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah, and thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt, and he took Agag. Now wait a minute here. Something's going on. Partial obedience is disobedience. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul, remember the story? I can imagine the preachers. I can imagine them being here telling you this verbatim. And that's good. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refused, they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel saying, I only could imagine back then, almost, you know, someone's ready to get baptized, almost, but there's something that happens. Someone's ready, you're having a great Bible study, but something happens to that lady or that man. I tell you what happens, Satan is working hard, and he's going to do anything he can to decimate them. He does not want you in this building, let alone listening to some preacher, that's for sure, or parent, or mom, or dad. Or uncle, or brother, or sister, or cousin, or aunt. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan don't want none of that. Not at all. And listen to what Samuel said. I'm in 1 Samuel 15, verse 11. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord. It didn't stop there, did it? All night. Have you ever done that, ladies and gentlemen? You ever cried unto the Lord all night? Look at me. I have. Many a nights. For my precious wife. For my precious three girls. For my precious son, for my precious brethren, for the elders, I've cried because I see Satan firsthand on how he works. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and it's gone about and passed on and gone out to Gilgal. In verse 13, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed, happy be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. Really? Really? You see, that's what I tell everybody all the time. Oh, yes, being a Christian is the best thing. I do everything about it. I love it. But more is caught than taught. And Samuel said, what meaneth then? Do you hear it? Every time I read this verse, I think about the people of the past. And it's almost like I just hear it. Those who do not die in the Lord. And I know God will be their judge. But my heart is torn. This bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowering of the oxen which I hear. And Saul was ready to, he knew he was a good man with his rhetoric. They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen. You know why? To sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now, Samuel's not done now. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell you what the Lord has said to this night. And he said unto him, keep on following me. I know it's a long little reading. Be with me now. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thy own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed you to be king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. That word is destroyed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord, and this is Danny Allen, hath the Lord, that is Jehovah, as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Because behold, and you know this very well, to obey is better than sacrifice. Now, I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, before we get too hard on this man, we need to take a close look at ourselves. You see, this is me. This is how I was. And I want to tell you, we can go and we can preach the gospel and we can go to point A, B, C, D, E and go all around this United States and some. You go ahead and do that. Well, you do that. You leave your lovely little wife at home and your kids at home, and they die spiritually. All right? You see, we got to have balance in our lives. You see, I can make excuses and whatnot. Is preaching the gospel important? You better believe it's important, isn't it? But first, you got to get things right in your home. Do you not, brethren? Isn't that vital? I mean, how in the world can you go around preaching the gospel everywhere if you're losing your home life? How in the world, when God tells you to do something, you say, well, yeah, I do it, but you take things into your own hands. Now, let's get a little personal here, okay? Because really, what good is it if we can't make application to the Scriptures, what the Scriptures are trying to make application to us? I mean, really, think about that. Now then, before we start, let me ask you, are you performing God's commandments? 1 Samuel 15, verse 11. And by the way, what does that mean, anyway, if you were to go back to the Hebrew? Well, perform means to carry out the task, establish, man, or execute. You go ahead and get your lexicon off. Whatever you want to get your concordance, and I just gave you a shortcut there, okay? My friends, may we never forget these words. To obey is better than sacrifice. I got to underscore that. I got to understand really what that means. Because what God wants me to do is to obey Him. We noted this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We said that's what it said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. But am I doing it? Am I really performing that? Am I obeying God? Really? Again, brethren, when you know to do good, but you deny it no matter what it is, you know, but you deny it, what are you doing? You see, we know the Scriptures. Everybody in here, we know them. We can turn to them. We can read them. We can study them. I can meditate Psalms 1 verse 1 through 3 as we looked at. When you see it, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, but yet offend the one point, he is guilty of all. Think about it. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, but yet I offend one area, what are you doing? And I have people saying, yeah, well, come on in here. I don't care. Listen, if you're gay, if you're a lesbian, this is the place. And by the way, it is the place. But I'll tell you what, that lifestyle is not right. But we don't have people saying that because they're, you know, I'll tell you what, we just don't have the audacity or the courage or the bravery to say it. Not in today's time, because you're going to turn people against you. I'll tell you one something. Fearing people, oh yeah, we fear people. But you better fear God a lot more than you fear people. Because it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10 verse 31. When it goes on in Hebrews 12 verse 29, it says, our God is a consuming fire. What we need to make sure is that when we die with Him, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know when we're going to die, but when you do die, you die with Him. And I do mean that. I am torn by what's going on in America and with people coming in these churches and and we don't know what's going to happen, do we? But we do know this. God said He'll never let His people down. Do we believe that? Do you believe that the angel of the Lord is in camp and He watches over you? You better, because that's exactly what it says in Psalms 34 and verse 7. You better believe that, ladies and gentlemen. In Psalms 34 and verse 4. What are we doing? I keep some of it, but I don't keep all of it. Oh, it's okay. If you want to take the Lord's Supper on Sunday, take the Lord's Supper on Sunday. I have churches of Christ that are quitting taking the Lord's Supper. I have churches of Christ where, hey, if you want to come to church, it's okay. If you don't want to come to church, we just won't. It's all right, you know. Where do we get the authority to come off and tell people what they can do and what they can't? What we're trying to do is follow the pattern. Not me. We got to follow it. I mean, why do we even talk about being steadfast if we're not going to be steadfast? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Ladies and gentlemen, another response that is so often, that is often so subtle, we don't even recognize it as disobedience. Substituting our plan for God is a way to appear, I want you to see, to appear obedient and yet avoid doing what we don't like. Oh, okay. Just think about it. That's how King Saul responded to the divine command he been given. God told them directly, this is what I want you to do. He took matters into his own hands. In his eyes, saving a few animals to sacrifice to the Lord seemed like a better idea than God's. And even sparing King Agag, when God said, destroy it. But you know what? He said, it's all right. This is, you know, thank you, God, for telling me what to do, but I'm just going to add on. Does not the Bible say something about adding on or taking away? I believe it does, ladies and gentlemen. Saul's sin seems obvious to us. Oh, Saul, what's wrong with you? But we're often unaware of the ways we make similar substitution. Oh, yeah. Maybe God is wanting you to serve in a peculiar or a particular way, but because you are fearful. Now listen to this. Why did Saul do what he did? This is why. This is the answer. Book, chapter, verse. But because you are fearful of the people, how about that? Around you, you obey their voice and you overlook the situation. And that's what Saul did. His comrades, his friends, his people, he was fearful. We do the same thing. It's time to stand back up. It's time for us to stand up and say, God, I'm giving my life to you, and no matter what it is, I'm going to go to my grave loving you. I'm not going to miss it. You see, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Know ye not that they that run the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may attain. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. How are you doing on that running business? I'm not doing too good on it, okay? That's why I'm walking. But I'm walking fast. I'm walking fast. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps, and I know we got to work. I understand that. Perhaps you work extra hard on a job so that the Lord won't notice you're neglecting your family. Sometimes we have so blended our plans, we want to make it look good, with His that we cannot even differentiate between the two. Hey, I'm doing all we can. I just can't come to church at all. So I don't see brethren sometimes. Starts off, Brian, I don't see him for a week, and then 2 weeks. I know you got to work. Listen, I was there. I worked night shift. It's hard. Anybody nocturnal? I'm not nocturnal, okay? But I had to be nocturnal when I had to work, all right? But I don't like that, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But sometimes my priorities, they just wasn't there the way they should be. Do I believe it? Do I believe this or do I not believe it? God, my wife, oh my goodness, if you can, when you meet, one day if you ever get to meet Marty Allen, you're going to say, how did you get so lucky, Danny? That's what you're going to say, all right? Oh, what a beautiful, this is on tape, honey. What a beautiful lady, all right? Danny, if God wants us to have it, He'll give it to us. She's absolutely right, isn't she? She's absolutely right. Folks, tell me something. How can we save people if we will not take interest in our own families? And I talk to so many people where we're losing our families. Yes, it gets personal to me. because I know that I need to tell these families. I'll tell you what, George Carson, I didn't have the courage to go in and tell them, hey, listen, you need to step back a little bit and whatnot. I'm glad you're doing all this, but your daughter and your sons, you're losing them left and right. And it hurt me. I didn't have the wisdom, it seems, on the same night. The school of hard knocks, you know. So what I want you to do is not to make the mistakes that I have made. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, don't lose your families. You want to know what's wrong with the United States? You want to know what's wrong with the world? You want to know what's wrong with the church? We're losing our families. Okay? King, what are you doing? God tells us to do something. You took matters into your own hands. What are we doing? The bottom line, the crux of it, okay? What are you substituting for obedience in your life? That's all I need to ask you. We are committed in choosing to make God smile. We always ask, how can I glorify God in this situation? If you would remember those two phrases, your life would turn upside down. Yeah, you would turn upside down. By offering a better plan, are you quietly and subtly resisting God's call to live fully committed to Him? That's what we learned in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 16. Friends, there is no way you can ever improve. There is no way you can ever improve on His plan for your life. You can't do that. And I thought I could. Oh my goodness, I thought I could do it. Don't let me scare you all. Okay? Got to keep you up. I see some eyes going, how in the world can you guys go to sleep when I'm preaching? Can you tell me that? What's up with you? I mean, come on here, all right? When you look at this, seriously, if anyone should be picking, I mean, after the meal I ate, I mean, look, how do we do that, folks? How? Listen to me. I'm almost done. That means we have about 45 minutes. Okay. Those who try to alter it live powerless lives because partial obedience is disobedience. Jesus put it this way. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. What don't we get? You understand that, James? He understands that. I mean, we understand that. The result is this. It's killing his church. Killing it. And everything else that is involved. And you know, when I look at Ephesians 3 and verse 21, you know what it tells me? We glorify God. We glorify God. It's all about giving God the glory. I don't know what it is. What? Why do we get so attached down here that we have missed up there? We should be so engulfed up there that people down here will want to go with us. Ladies and gentlemen, sin is always sin. And the remedy is Jesus Christ. And only Jesus Christ in His way. And we've been nailing this verse. And we understand it can break the chain. I mean, I don't know what your chains are about this lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We understand 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. We understand Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. We understand these verses, ladies and gentlemen. But what are the things that break us? Because we know that the truth is going to make us free. And all I'm asking you simply is that are you giving your life to God? Don't pay attention to that. So, as we look at this, seriously, I want us to pray. And let's ask God, please, God. Please help us. Please. And I do feel for King Saul. But I feel for you all. And I feel for me. Shall we pray? Oh, dear God. We need you, God. there's people in Texas right now, and they're just shattered. They're out of building, and they don't understand why. We don't understand, God. I don't. But I know evil is prevalent, and I know evil is around, and I know the devil is rampant. But I do understand, God, you love us. And I do understand, God, that you'll help us no matter what. And I pray, God, help me to love you and to love other people. And that I would be willing to lay my life down for them the way that your precious Son, Jesus Christ, laid his life down for me and us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. For we pray in his name. And amen. We've been saying here that we got to repent. That word repent, it means to turn. It means to change. I change. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to its deceitful lust, and you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I change. Ephesians 4:22-24. I change. We got to change. When I say change, I don't mean change and say, okay, I'll do this, but on this other one, nah. You change, you totally give your life to God. Is there anyone in here that needs to totally give their life to God? Or maybe you have changed completely and you're on it. Will you do me a favor, okay? When you walk out that door, unless you go down the elevator or whatnot, and I'm not going down that elevator, all right? But if you walk out that door, you rub up against my shoulder and you give me that energy, okay? Because I need it. I need it. And I want that word of God to cut you. I had a lady here. She came up to me and she said, Dana, why do you see the word of God is cutting you? And I said, maybe you're misconstruing what I'm trying to say. Now, I don't know how you all would misconstrue what I'm trying to say, but nevertheless, okay, maybe you are, okay? And all I'm saying is that the word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intents of the hearts. Let it cut you. Don't play with the gospel. Die to it. If you need, you're here, and you are. And if you need Jesus, you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Hey, Brian will be happy to dive in that baptistry, okay? All right? And by the way, the baptistry, you ought to see it. Looks really nice. You know, it really looks nice. All right, and I'm glad you have a baptistry. And I hope that this place will continue to use it constantly. If you're here and you say, well, I've already been baptized, can you really say that, God, if I would go tonight, I know without a doubt that I'm in your hands? Because you should be able to. Because Paul did. Peter did. Stephen. My God. My God. Forgive them, God. They don't know what they do. Please come and stand and sing.